I've entitled this one, Who's in Charge? And what do I mean by that? Who's in charge? Well, who's in charge of me? Am I in charge? Or am I letting Jehovah and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, be in charge of my life? That's what I mean by this question, who's in charge? Is it me? Is it God? Or is it Satan? We've got to consider those things. So here's some Bible text. These first three texts are ones that I have treasured for the last, I've been in recovery for, in addiction recovery for 28 years. And I learned these texts early on, I'll say at least 25 years. I've been familiar with these. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, for what things soever he does, these the Son does in like manner. Verse 30, Jesus say, still talking, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus is our perfect example, which, by the way, is the title of next week's lesson, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. John 15, verse 5, and Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. And the key part of this text for us in the context of our study today is what comes next. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Nothing without Jesus. We can't do anything good. We're going to be under the control of Satan. It's either Jesus or Satan. Take your pick. Zephaniah 3:16. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, O Zion, let thy hands be slack. Jehovah thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Did you know that Jehovah sings? That's what it says, what Zephaniah says here. So once we've learned to admit our powerlessness, with John 5, 19 and 30 as our example that we just read, when we've learned to admit our powerlessness and assent to God's all-powerfulness, which we saw in Zephaniah, then we need to take action. But the action I took kept me bound in my addictions for 25 years. I would continually try harder to resist the devil. That was me being in charge, trying to do hand-to-hand battle with the devil, and I was a loser every time. Trying harder is like a dialogue between us and Satan. How foolish is that? It wasn't until I began to surrender myself to God in each moment of temptation that I began to experience real victory. Well, what's the difference? Well, rather than dialoguing with Satan, when I surrender my will to God, the dialogue is between me and God. As a result, God has a dialogue with Satan. When that happens, Satan loses and I win. But I only win because I admit my powerlessness, assent to God's all-powerfulness, and take the action of submitting my will to God's. Then God fights the battle for me. And he wins, always wins. And I win because God wins. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, this is Paul speaking, and he's speaking to Jehovah or Jesus. It looks like he's speaking to the Father, Jehovah. And Jehovah is saying to him, to Paul, my grace is sufficient for me, for thee, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly now, this is Paul speaking again, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses. Because he's saying that when he glories in his weaknesses, rather than tries to do it on his own, that's when the power of Christ will rest upon me, says Paul. And I agree. Deliverance does not come in my strength, but rather in my weakness. That's faith. That's why it was said of the people of faith in Hebrews 11 that out of weakness they were made strong and waxed valiant in fight. And that, my friends, is why I don't know if you're familiar with 12-step programs or not, such as Alcoholics Anonymous. I imagine you have those in your country, like we do here. But what's the first step of those 12 steps? It's to admit our powerlessness. It's to admit our weakness. And that's what Paul was talking about here. He was actually talking about step one of the 12-step program. Of course, the 12-step program was developed out of the Bible. And this is probably one of the texts that they used to come up with this as the first step. Okay, here's another one from Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. So Jesus understands my weaknesses. All I ever have to ask in times of temptation is, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's a quote from Acts 9:6. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but Saul, who later became Paul, was a persecutor of the Christians. He was a persecutor of the followers of Christ. And he was on the road to Damascus to go and take out and imprison more of Christ's followers when all of a sudden he was struck down by the brilliant glory and light of Jesus Christ himself. And to that, Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, all of a sudden, Saul realized his own powerlessness because he was overpowered. It knocked him to the ground and blinded him, the power and the glory and the light of Jesus Christ. So he recognized his powerlessness, and he recognized who he was fighting against, that it was Jesus, his Lord, who became his Lord. And he reaches out to Jesus and says, Lord, what would you have me to do? That was the story. So back to my story. Jesus understands my weaknesses. All I ever have to ask in times of temptation is, Lord, what would you have me to do? Whenever I do this with a surrendered spirit, he gives me the victory. The victory is the Lord's, but it only happens with my cooperation, because I can do nothing without him. That's what Jesus said in John 15:5. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Paul in Philippians 4:13. So, one of my favorite authors has made numerous statements supporting this step of surrender. Here are just a few, or here's just a couple of these quotes. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are put away, evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the light of heaven. The blessing comes when, by faith, the soul surrenders itself to God. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Really? Well, Peter talked about that by the promises of the Bible, we can be partakers of the divine nature. I don't have that text handy, but you may remember that. So by being partakers of the divine nature agrees with this statement that says, as the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it, the will of man, becomes omnipotent, all-powerful, because we can become partakers of the divine nature, according to Peter. Whatever is to be done at God's command may be accomplished in his strength. All his biddings are enablings. In other words, if God asks us to do something or asks us to not do something, that's his biddings. And when he does that, he does not do it without power. When he asks us to do something, if we choose to do it, if we choose to obey, that's really what it comes down to, trusting and obeying. By the way, that the second step of the 12-step Christian 12-step program is trusting God that he has a better plan for us. And the third is surrendering to God. So here we have it. Whatever is to be done at his command may be accomplished in his strength. All his biddings are his enablings. How do we accomplish it in his strength? By surrendering. Because in our weakness, we are made strong, as Paul told us. So that's how all his biddings are in his enablings. If he asks us to do something, he will enable us to be able to do what he asks us to do. That's what it comes down to. Isaiah 43:3, "For I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Yes, Jehovah is our Savior. He sent his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, torn from his bosom to this sinful world to be the sacrifice for us in our place, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died so that we may live. It's the only hope that we really have. If Jesus had sinned and he died, he would not have been risen by Jehovah, his Father. But I digress. But I must frequently ask the question, who's in charge of me? Is it me, or am I choosing God as not only my Savior, but my Lord as well? So this is my prayer. Thine, O Jehovah, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Jehovah, and thou art exalted as head above all." That's from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Now, maybe you noticed, you're probably very familiar with what is typically referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Notice that this prayer from the Old Testament is probably what he was quoting from. It's very similar to the Lord's Prayer. And so I made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God as I understood him. That's step three of the Christian 12 steps right there. So what we did right here is we covered those first three steps in this short lesson here. Genesis 17:1 says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, in other words, he was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect." In Exodus 6:3, "I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them." So here we have tied in how this all came about, and how it is that Jehovah is God Almighty. Well, that concludes our study.
Yes.
He has done for me. He has done for me. The Lord of Calvary has done
for me.
He has done
for me.
He has done
for me.
The Lord of Calvary
has done for me.
He has blessed me.
He has blessed me.
The Lord of Calvary
has blessed me.
He has blessed me.
He has blessed me.
The Lord of Calvary
has blessed me.
He has given me.
He has given me.
The Lord of Calvary
has given me.
He has given me.
He has given me.
This way.
The Lord of Calvary.
He has gifted me. The Lord of Calvary
has gifted me.
He has gifted me.
He has gifted me.
The Lord of Calvary has gifted me.
He has guided me.
The Lord of Calvary has guided me.
He has blessed me.
The Lord of Calvary has blessed me. Amen. 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 Wonderful. Great.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's, I love it. I love the song. That was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
All right. Well, with that, I think it's time to close with prayer.
Yes.
Father God, I thank you for a blessed time that we had together today with the spoken word and with music and with joy and thanksgiving. We are grateful for all that you have done for us and that you continue to do. Help us to remember, Father, to always submit to you, to ask, what would you have me to do? Help us to remember that we need to trust you implicitly and obey you, expecting that you will make that obedience possible. This is my prayer today in the precious holy name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.